Thank you for recovering the Kyrie this morning. As soon as I began, I knew I was in trouble. It just wasn't there. You'd think after 26 years I'd have that down, but you did your good deed before 8 in the morning, recovering the Kyrie. If you were allowed to keep one virtue in your life, if you'd think about it, which one would you choose? A seminary professor once said, the one virtue you should always try to keep is the virtue of humility. And of course, as seminarians, you know, why? We always. And he responded, because humility is the one virtue by which Jesus described himself. In Matthew 11, he said, learn from me, for I am humble. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. The gospel we just heard from Luke has our Lord saying that if we do exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. And if we humble ourselves, we will be exalted. And then Sirach tells us that we ought to conduct our affairs with humility. Conduct all of our affairs with humility. And we are to, as it reads, humble yourself, the more the greater you are. As I read these readings for today, I thought of what Father Robert Spitzer recently elaborated on at a recent conference here in the diocese. Many of you have listened to this great Jesuit, maybe on EWTN, Father Robert Spitzer. I thought of what he taught us because it destroys humility. It will never make us happy. Because above all, it's rooted in pride. It is the comparison game. Whenever I compare myself to others in any way, I'm a player of the comparison game. Let's look at it. Like every game, there are three options. I can win it, I can lose, or it's a draw. If I win the comparison game, in my mind, I feel better than others. And that's just an ego out of control. That's arrogance. And people tend to avoid arrogant people. So if I win the comparison game, I feel better than others, which in the end will bring me emptiness, because that's a lie. It'll bring me contempt for others, because they are less than I am, and I will feel isolated. That's the prize for winning. If I lose the comparison game, then I feel worse than others. I'll feel inferior, jealous. I'll create a small comfort zone in my life where I'm comfortable, which leads me to depression. Inferiority leads us to anger, and we won't even know why. That's the prize for losing the comparison game. If it's a tie, then I feel caught in between. I'll have a mixture of the winner and loser emotions. But if it's a tie, I will still feel like I may lose. I'll fear a future loss of esteem. I'll be suspicious of others because ultimately I may fear that I will lose. So those are the prizes of really one of the games the world plays the best, the comparison game. The world teaches us this game as children. And it's so powerful, it's so devious, that we're able to play this game all the way to the grave. My people, we have to move on in life from the comparison game. There's no winning it. It's a dead-end street. It's a living hell. The comparison game is, above all, a life of envy. It's impossible to conduct ourselves with humility around people if we're suspicious, jealous, and arrogant. It's a life of envy. Here's what St. Thomas Aquinas said about envy. I think it's kind of cool. Thomas Aquinas said, of all the deadly sins, of all the seven deadly sins, envy is the only one without pleasure attached to it. At least in committing the other six, there's some pleasure. And envy doesn't even give us pleasure in committing it. And the Book of Wisdom says this, by envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to him experience envy. To those who belong to the devil experience envy. Wisdom chapter 2. So as we think about the comparison game this week, you will be tempted to play it. We are all tempted to play it. And when we are, we just have to say to the evil one, I'm not playing. I'm not playing. At least today. Amen.